Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30. The Bible says, "The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat." Look at it. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. As I read the second part of that verse, I think about how many people today that are Christians spend more time in front of a television and a newspaper and a magazine than they do in front of the Bible or a preacher or a teacher of the Bible. A lot of Christians today spend less time hearing the Word of God and reading the Word of God than they do hearing the television, hearing the radio, and hearing the newspaper, and then surfing the internet for new stuff. And what happens when you're subjected to that stuff that comes out of the media? You're hearing bad report after bad report after bad report. That's one of the most critical outlets for information that I've ever seen in my life. They criticize everything all the time and sell on bad reports. Airplane crashes, bombs going off, rapes, murders, muggings, fires. You name it, they're putting it out to sell it. Those are bad reports, and it's no wonder that today that people are having problems with their health. A good report maketh the bones fat. Now, the bones are an important place in the body because in the marrow is made the red blood cells that, you know, carry oxygen around to your organs and keep you healthy. So it's no wonder that people are losing their health because they're subjected to bad reports all the time. And I just wanted to throw that comment in, even though today we're not going to study that part of the proverb. There you go. That's something. Subject yourself to good reports. Hear about people getting saved. Listen to people's testimony. Concern yourself with answered prayer. Souls saved. Marriages restored. People turned around. Because the good report is what makes the bones fat. Truth, honesty, purity. Think on these things. Not on this garbage that keeps getting circulated around that will absolutely suck the life out of you. All right, now what we're going to study today is the light of the eyes. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart. And that's good. You know, you have your eyes, and if light comes into those eyes, your heart rejoices. And if you want a joyful heart, you have to have light in your eyes. Now that light comes from two sources as far as the Bible is concerned. Not just daylight or sunlight or artificial light in your room. Talking about light that will cause your heart to rejoice. The first source of that light is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 9, verse 5, and John chapter 9, verse 6, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Well, there you go. The first place to get light in your eyes is in Jesus Christ. We sing a song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Fanny Crosby wrote a song, "Blessed Assurance," and she said in there about, visions of rapture now burst on my sight, and she couldn't even see, and yet she could see. She saw things that you don't see with your ordinary eyes. In the context of Jesus Christ saying, "I'm the light of the world," he spoke, he spat on the ground, he made clay, he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and the man came back seeing. You see, when you have a run-in with Jesus Christ, you begin to see things that you've never seen before, and that's a good thing. And it causes your heart to rejoice. I can remember when my eyes were lightened by Jesus Christ. There was a rejoicing in the heart, and it hasn't worn off yet. We use an expression about the eyes gaining light. I can remember a long time ago, we were hunting quail. My dad had two hunting partners for 50 years. And we shot up some birds, and one bird fell, and we couldn't find it. And the dog got on a scent and started working that scent, and my dad's partner, a fellow named Zach Lentz, got excited about watching that dog work. And that dog hunted dead and eventually found that bird and recovered it. And it was a hard hunt for that dog. I mean, he really, really had to work to find that bird. And when he did, old Zach smiled real big, turned, looked at all of us. He said, "Man, that'll lighten my eyes." You know, he was also smiling and there was rejoicing in his heart. It's an expression. That eye lights up when there's joy in the heart, and the joy in the heart is a result of what the eye sees that causes it to lighten up. So Jesus Christ will definitely lighten your heart because he's the light of the world. But another one that will cause your heart to rejoice, that's light, are the words of God. The words of God. Look in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. All right. You're familiar with some of these verses. Psalm 119, verse 105, the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All right, then, if the Bible, the Word, is a lamp and a light, then it's going to show you your way. It's going to guide you. It's going to guide you. When it's a light, if it's a lamp under your feet, then it'll show you right here in front of you where you need to step to keep from having a problem, stepping in the wrong direction. You know, everything is done one step at a time. And then light under my path will give you an idea where you're supposed to be going down that path. It'll guide you. The Word of God will. I can remember praying to the Lord in 1986 and saying, "I'm going to take my hands off the rein. I want you to guide me. Take the reins." And he guides through his words. And it's an amazing thing. When you follow the words of God, you wind up in the space that you're supposed to be. And you're in Psalm 119. Look at verse 130. Psalm 119, verse 130. The Bible says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." So the words will lighten you, to guide you, and to give you understanding. To give you understanding. I can remember talking to a fella. You've heard this expression before. And you're trying to help him to understand a thing that's hard to understand, hard to conceive, hard to comprehend. And after talking a little while, he'll say, "You know what? Hey," he said, "I got it, man. The light just came on. The light just came on." I told you the other day about a fellow that got saved in the office. And he said when he heard the gospel and got saved, he said every time he approached the gospel before, it was like a dark room. And after hearing the words of God presented plainly and clearly, he said it was just like somebody came and flipped a switch on in the room, and now I can see everything clearly. You know what that is? The light came on. What is that? The words of God. They gave him understanding. Then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we find another verse concerning the words of God and the light they give. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And Peter, when writing this, says, "Now look, I'm going to tell you something, fellas. The word of God is even more sure than the words we heard on the Mount of Transfiguration." He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." This world is a dark place. The whole world lieth in darkness. And so in order to figure out what God's doing, you've got to read the Bible. And it is a more sure word of prophecy. It will tell you where you are going and where this world is going and who's going to run it and when Jesus Christ is coming back. I don't mean by setting dates, but relative to other things going on, and how he's going to rule and how long he's going to rule and where the devil will be during that rule. I mean, a lot of darkness concerning future events will absolutely shine forth. You know, it's an amazing thing. Scientists probe, archaeologists probe, and they look for clues as to the existence of things in history, and they look for things concerning the existence of the universe and where we came from. And I'm telling you, they spend so much time looking backwards, they don't think about what's coming. And what's coming is the Lord Jesus Christ, and before his coming, a terrible time of tribulation, and they won't be ready. Why? No light. No light. The words of God will tell you where you're going. The words of God will give you understanding. The words of God will guide you through your life. You need all of that. You need all of that. Now, where are you going to get the light? Jesus Christ. If you get saved, you get the light in you. Jesus Christ in your heart, inside of you. I am the light of the world. And boy, you need that. You need that. That'll rejoice the heart. And then you need the words of God to guide you, to give you understanding, and to tell you where you're going, where everything else is going. But now, you know something? as true as those statements are and as easily as we should be able to move on from the verse here, we can't. Not yet, because we've got to know some things. There are some things that obscure that light. Now, before we go into the things that obscure the light, let me just say this so that you don't have any doubt about it, okay? I said that the words of God will give you light. Please understand something. If you're going to buy a Bible and you go to the Christian bookstore and you ask for a recommendation, they are going to tell you that you need one that's easy to understand, and they're going to recommend one that they say is written in modern English, an NIV, NASV, TEV, CEV, ABC, I mean, just whatever, you know? And you got to be real careful, because to them it's not as important which one you get as that you are happy with the one you get and that you buy one from them, because after all, that's the way they make money. And I don't fault them for wanting to make a living, but I do fault them for giving careless advice. Let me tell you this beyond the shadow of a doubt, so that you get it and get it and understand it. If you want the light of God's words, you must get an authorized King James Bible. You say, why do you say authorized King James Bible? Well, because there are a couple of other Bibles that pose themselves as King James Bibles, and they're not. One would be the New King James. It's not a King James Bible. It's not even close. And there's a Scofield King James, not the old Scofield, and there are, 1,000 changes in it, at least. You don't want that. People say, well, I'm not going to be able to understand that. Who told you that, and why do you believe it? Understanding, does it come from your scholarship? Understanding, does it come from your education? Peter and John were unlearned and ignorant men. The Bible tells us that, and yet they were handling the scripture like a warrior handling a sword. Listen, the reason we say that, you get that from the old King James Bible, is very simple. Understanding comes from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to give you your understanding by inspiration. Inspiration not only deals with how we got the words written down, but more importantly, it deals with what God does with the words after they're written down and you read them. Inspiration is a current doctrine whereby the Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you into all truth, but you got to have the scripture for him to be able to do that, and the scripture, no doubt, is this old King James Bible, this authorized Bible. So when you want the light, get that, okay? And then you'll have guide, and you'll have understanding, and you'll know where you're going. You'll know what's happening. You won't have all this confusion that's going around where everybody says, well, that's just your interpretation. Don't get tied up in that stuff. The interpretation is always the same if you get it from the Holy Spirit of God, okay? And the Holy Spirit will teach you and give you the right thing. Now, there are some things that will obscure the light that's in your heart and cause you to miss the rejoicing. And the first thing that will cause you to miss the light and obscure the light and cause your heart to miss the rejoicing is the devil. The devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, these verses particularly pertain to lost people that have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but look what happens. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the devil's work in this world is to blind people from the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, so that it won't shine to them. And how does he do that? Well, he does that a lot of ways. Famously, the biggest way that the devil causes the light to be obscured in a man's eyes and a man's mind is with religion. It's the worst one. That's the most damnable place to try to get anything is religion. And the reason is that, and I'm talking about the type of Orthodox religion that tells you you got to keep the customs and the rituals of the religion without giving any regard to the Bible. I grew up in a religion, and in that religion, tradition was of equal authority to the scripture, and I'll tell you, we threw out the scripture, although there was a gospel and an epistle and an Old Testament reading read every Sunday. Those things were of no importance. They were simply read. They were not expounded, and then we went right on with the rest of the service. That was not the important part of the service, and consequently, we paid no attention to those things. We paid attention to the doctrines of the church that dealt with things that were not in the Bible. Okay, to name one, like a place called Purgatory. That helped us to think that there was some way, if we were bad, that we would have a place to fry for a while, and then we'd get out and spend time in heaven. And that's a false doctrine. There's no mention of that in Scripture. And consequently, the devil used that to blind my mind. Now, getting saved will take care of that blindness. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, Paul was giving his testimony about what his ministry was about, and he said, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. What did he say? He said, my ministry is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from darkness to light. You see, one of the other things the devil uses then to blind somebody's mind from the glorious light of the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ is darkness. This world is filled with darkness. And, presents itself as light. There's a lot of artificial light, neon signs in bars, neon signs out in front of strip clubs, television. There's a lot of light that comes off of television, but it doesn't portray the truth, and consequently your mind gets blinded to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that kind of thing. Darkness, like the conjecture of science. If evolution is to be believed from the way that it's taught in school, it will create in the mind of the hearer a belief that there is no God, or if there is a God, he can't be known. In other words, agnostics and atheists would come forth from that doctrine if the person never exposed themselves to the words of God. You know what that is? That is an attempt by the devil to blind somebody's mind from the light of Jesus Christ. That's the way it goes. So the devil is one that will obscure the light that comes from Jesus Christ and from the words of God. I believe that the devil has infiltrated church pulpits. He said he would in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. I believe that the devil has infiltrated seminaries. Some seminaries anyway, and translation committees, and has been used in order to influence false teachings. You say, how do you know that? Well, in many of the seminaries, men that went in believing in doctrines that are obviously biblical, doctrines like the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the deity of Christ, that is, that he was God manifest in the flesh, the literal bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, his literal ascension, his literal bodily return to the earth to rule. A lot of men that went into seminary believing those things have come out of seminary believing that none of those things are true. Who blinded them? Who caused them to change their minds? Scholars. Who convinced the scholars? The devil. The devil. I find with modern translations, there are many attacks on verses of the scripture that are very important. You say, like what? Like the Trinity. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. It is a tremendous verse of Scripture on the Trinity. Gone. People say, well, the King James added it later. No. If you go back and you look at old stuff like the Peshitta, 150 A.D., the old Atala, 180 A.D., and the preachings of men before Sinaiticus and Vaticanus were written, from which the modern Bibles come, you find men quoting those verses of Scripture, and they're in those other translations, showing that those things were there originally and removed later by an enemy. Who would that be? Who would be interested in destroying the Trinity? Let me see. Sounds like the work of the devil to me. The verse in the Bible that says he has come to save and to seek and to save that which is lost, gone. Taken right out of the Bible. Who would be interested in a thing like that? The blood of Jesus Christ in Colossians 1:14, stripped right out of the book. Who would be interested in attacking the blood, casting a little doubt on his existence and work? Let me see. The devil. So what you've got here is that light comes from Jesus Christ, and light comes from the words of God, and the first person to attack it and obscure it is going to be the devil. And when you get saved, you come out of darkness, you turn from the power of Satan unto God. So you should be able to humble yourselves before the words of God and learn from the Holy Spirit what's right. People have said to me, how do you know the King James Bible is right? If you don't have any other better method to check it, you know what you ought to do? You ought to get one side by side with the other, read the two, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal to you which one is right. I've talked to several men that have done that, and every time invariably they come out saying, you know what? It's this old King James Bible. What else will obscure the light that comes from Jesus Christ in the words of God? Evil. Evil. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, the Bible says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." You know, that's what's going on in our generation. Now, a preacher is not a good guy. He is a fundamentalist who ought to be hushed up, even though we live in a country that still abides by the freedom of speech. And so, on several occasions now, street preachers in various places around the country who have preached at gatherings like gay parades have been arrested by the police and thrown in jail and told they couldn't distribute tracts while they were trying to do something good. And the guys that were out there doing something that God says and is abomination to him, the people are saying this is good. Evil is now good and good is evil. You know what that does? That puts darkness for light and light for darkness. The Bible says if your eye is single, your whole body shall be full of light. Well, a single eye would be one that would look straight to Jesus Christ and to his words for every understanding of truth and would abide by those things. And when the eye turns evil, it will turn away from the truth of God's words and from Jesus Christ. And then what happens is inside you're full of darkness. Evil. Evil will obscure the light. What else will? Hatred. That is hatred among brethren. That'll obscure the light. In the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 10, 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, we find some very important statements about that. The Bible says, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Isn't that something? "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Let me tell you something. Believe what the Scripture says. If you want light in your eye that will cause your heart to rejoice, then you need to look inside and see if there's any brother that you hate. Now, I've heard people say this before. I've heard people say to me, they say, "I love him in the Lord." I've heard them say that. And really, hey, it's appropriate to love somebody in the Lord, okay? But the reason they said it that way, "I love him in the Lord," is because they did not love him. In fact, they said that as a qualifier. "In the Lord I love him, but really and truly I hate him. Really and truly I don't like him. I don't want to be around him." All right, when you get there, you know what happens? Darkness settles in. Darkness blinds the eyes. And guess what happens to the heart? No more joy. The joy goes. If you're today with a heart that is lacking rejoicing, it may very well be that the light that should be in you is not in you because you're either blinded by the devil, blinded by evil that you've allowed into your light, or blinded by hatred. And if you are, you need to change, just quickly change the attitude that you have toward the hatred that you have toward a brother and begin to love him. I mean, after all, you're even supposed to love your enemies. And if your eye is consumed with evil and you've got internet and you're watching pornography or you're at home and you're watching bad movies, you need to stop that, because what you've done is obscure the light of the eye and your heart is lacking the rejoicing that God wants you to have. You need to cut it out. The other thing that will affect the light in you is sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, sin. John says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." 1 John 1, 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." Sin will break your fellowship with God and cause the light that is in you to go dark. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But if you're not walking in the light, you're walking in darkness. And if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Listen, I've heard people tell me who have allowed themselves to get in a backslidden condition. I've heard people tell me that they felt like God was a million miles away. He wasn't, but he felt that way, and you know why? Because they were in darkness. And when you go, like I've been in a dark cave before, the darkness is so thick you can feel it. Why, the person that's sitting next to you, if you couldn't hear them breathe and you couldn't reach out far enough to touch them, I mean, they were just enough away from you where you couldn't touch out and reach, you know, reach out and touch them, they might as well be a million miles away as be right next to you because you can't sense that they're there. There's nothing, there's not enough light to give you any indication that there's anybody even remotely close to you. Likewise, when you allow sin into your life, the Lord feels a million miles away even though he hasn't left you because there's so much darkness, he might as well be a million miles away as be next to you or in you. And sin will obscure that light. If the light comes from Jesus Christ and the light comes from the words of God, then the devil, evil, hatred, and sin will obscure that light and cause you from being able to rejoice in your heart, okay, for the presence of the light that is therein. I remember in my own life when I'd allow myself to get in a very backslidden condition, I felt very dark. And the things that I was doing that I thought were fun certainly appealed to my flesh, but you know, my heart didn't rejoice. I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy. I was giddy. I was foolish. I was enjoying the foolishness and those kind of things, but I wasn't happy. But when I got clobbered by the Lord, literally, I guess that's the best way to put it, and began to read that Bible and God turned me around, I'm telling you what, there was a joy in there in the heart that settled in for the first time in my life that was absolute. I mean, I'm telling you, it was so good that I decided I didn't want to do things to jeopardize that joy that was in there. And so in order to keep that joy, you got to keep that light. Now, the best way to keep that light is to stay actively reading the Bible, stay actively in church where you're hearing the Bible taught and preached, and maintain good fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ at all times, and you'll have the light, and the light will produce the joy in your heart. That's the way it goes. And that's what we need to do. And stay away from that other stuff that, you know, I mean, we get lazy these days. We want to sit down and watch television, have somebody else, you know, pipe it into your brain. You'll watch what happens to your heart when you do that. It just goes cold. It loses its joy. And we don't want you to do that. So hopefully this thing on the light of the eyes, this little lesson here, has been a blessing to you and a help to you and a reminder to you the importance of good fellowship with Jesus Christ and a good understanding of God's words by continual reading and study and exposure to preaching and teaching.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.